Ready?
Go.
Okay, I'd like to call this meeting of the Board of Selectmen for the Town of Shebig Island to order at 6 p.m. on September 23rd, 2020. I don't know where this year has gone. I can't believe 23rd of September. So I'm going to do a roll call to make sure we can hear everyone. We will start with Mr. Beaupre.
Here.
Mr. Corson?
Here.
Mr. Dyer?
Here.
I've got an unstable internet, so if we have a problem. Mr. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Damon? Is he here? Ms. Alphonse?
Here.
Can we hear you? And Ms. Here. Stratton?
Okay. Here.
All right, so all the principals are here. I'd like to open a public hearing to adopt and sign the General Assistance Appendix A through H. This is something that I think we do just about every year. The state goes through a process and determines what the acceptable ratios of income to need are, and we basically adopt it after having a public hearing. Is there anyone on the board who would like to speak to this issue? Is there anyone in the Jay, yes.
Yeah, I realize that we do this every year and that nobody signs up for it, but did anybody look at the money involved? Just on the offhand, somebody should apply?
It's very minimal.
I don't understand the question, I guess.
I guess, well, when I went through and looked at what the housing allowances and food allowances and everything else, if somebody applied in town, do we have to pay that?
No, there's what is called a general assistance maximum. And in my experience, most of the time when someone comes in to fill out an application, if you have any income at all, even if you're on Social Security and get a minimal income, you usually don't qualify. The way that general assistance comes into play in my experience is like if somebody lost their job and just really didn't have any way to have any income, and it's sort of a stopgap for them to get their rent or electric bill or something paid for. But honestly, it's very difficult to qualify, and you have to go through an extensive application stating your income and your expenses. Even though you put down the maximum rent that somebody could qualify for, you're never going to end up paying out that amount, in my experience. And I think that's the question you're asking. Like, if the maximum rent for the Cumberland County, Portland area is, I don't know, I can't even remember, $1,000.
Just under $1,200.
Yeah. We would never end up paying that out because a person would reach their maximum benefit before we would ever have to pay that amount.
What I was thinking about and what brought the question to mind was when I looked at it and I find us in the highest groups of costs is simply that should we in the next budget set aside a few bucks just in case it came out of nowhere and we didn't have the money to pay it. Or didn't, you know.
Well, the other aspect of it is that we do have money in the budget. It's a very small amount. It's $500. However, whatever we pay out is reimbursed by the state by 50% as well. So I've only had one application as long as I've been here. And we didn't overexpend what we had in our budget because we were reimbursed 50% by the state.
Okay. Okay, that helps a lot. Thank you.
And we did used to have put more money in, but because of the Good Samaritan Fund, it seemed as if people were taking advantage of that to help, and that so we did cut it down. We have had applications since we became a town, and we've had appeals. And I've been sat on many appeals in the mainland where I was almost crying because we couldn't give somebody money when they were really destitute. As Marjorie says, I kept saying, there's no way we can figure this out. And I can't imagine what condition somebody has to be in to qualify, because I've seen some really, what I felt were heart-wrenching situations. And maybe Marjorie has too, where there's no wiggle room in this, unfortunately.
I think Shebig is fortunate that they have a lot of other places that people can go. Mm-hmm. They have a fuel fund. They have a prescription fund through the Island Council, the food pantry. There's a lot of other places that people can access for things like this. And so general assistance would be a last resort. And it's very difficult to even qualify for general assistance.
Thank you.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to ask a question about this or has a comment that they would like to make? David, do you see anybody?
No hands.
Okay. Seeing none, seeing that the board has no questions, is there anyone who would like to make a motion?
We have to close the hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we have to close the hearing. All right. So do we have a motion to close the hearing?
Move to close hearing.
Do we have to do that?
No.
No, I didn't think so. Okay. So we've closed the hearing, and now could we have a motion to
that's in the
to
regular.
Adopt and sign the general assistance appendices.
That's coming up under regular business.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right.
So this we just go right into public comments right now.
All right. Yeah, this isn't how I usually do it, but anyway. Okay, public comments for items not on the agenda. Is there anyone in the audience who has a question or a comment about something that's not on the agenda?
No hands.
No hands. Okay, we're going to move right on to the town administrator's report.
Unmute, Marjorie.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I have a couple of things that I wanted to update the selectmen on. There's a car that's broken down on Bennett's. I don't know if anybody's complained to the selectmen, but I spoke to the owners again today, and they have a tow truck being barged over with Lionel Plant for next Wednesday, September 30th. I don't really have any way to move it. It's completely broken down, and I don't really want to tow it with a rope or anything. I think that's dangerous for us to get into. Anyway, so if people complain, I've talked to the people. They feel really bad about it, but you know, there's not much they can do. The audit is scheduled for August 5th. It's going to be in person. We've agreed with the auditors on protocols for COVID. They're going to be in the back. We'll wear masks if we're in the same room, but otherwise, if I'm in my office, for instance, I won't have to wear a mask. I still have a little bit of work to do to prepare for that, but I'm... most things are complete right now. The general ledger is all reconciled. I've printed that out and sent that off to them. I just have to do some financial statements on the special revenue funds and things like that. This is the biannual, this is the year that we have the landfill monitoring with CV and Mahar. That will also take place in October. I'm just letting you know that that's happening. It's money that's in the budget, in the solid waste budget, but it will be happening during the month of October. An update on the compactor. I'm still having conversations.
You just muted yourself.
That's weird.
You're back on.
Did you hear what I said?
You're saying that you were having conversations about the compactor.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and doing the right thing with the electrical. I've got a phone call in to Jim O'Regan from Atlantic Recycling. I want to discuss my conversations with Kim Bain, with him. I've talked with Kim, and he feels like we could just do a simple upgrade to put this compactor in and do the full upgrade later. I don't understand that rationale. I want to find out from the recycling people, the compactor people, what's the best scenario for them, you know, what they would like to see. I'm still nervous about the fact that if we just do the minimum amount of work, that we wouldn't be able to turn on two compactors at the same time, which we don't usually do, but I'm just afraid that that would happen. And
Marjorie, didn't we approve the money to actually upgrade that?
Yes.
But so I think I guess my feeling, and other people on the board can negate my comment, but we've already authorized the money. We've already said, go ahead and do it. I don't know why we would only do something halfway. You know, I mean, well, that would be my thought. I don't know. I'd like to hear from some other people on the board.
That was my feeling, but I wanted to talk with the compactor people to see how they felt. It also might delay the project. So I don't know how you feel about that, because I'm not sure when we could get the work done, unless you want me to hire somebody else to get the work done.
So Kim can't do it right now?
No. I'm still exploring the options, and I just want to make sure that I recommend the right thing. Certainly, if you want me to just go ahead and find somebody as soon as possible to do the complete upgrade, I'll do that. But I've just been trying to get a hold of the Atlantic Recycling people to get their input on what they feel like we should do. Because I haven't really talked to him since the meeting that we had at the transfer station. I don't know if Bo has talked to him. I just wanted to get his feeling on, you know, what they think we should do and the timing of things.
Okay, I'd like to hear from the rest of the board, if anyone has a comment.
I guess the only comment I would make is it might be possible to put in some kind of a cutout switch that wouldn't allow both to operate at the same time, to avoid any kind of overload on the circuit or popping circuit breakers, but it's just an idea.
I understand that, Jay. That's just David. I mean, that's just another expense.
That's true.
Bob.
If Kim can't do it, if Kim can't do it this season or when we want him to, maybe we need to go look for somebody else.
I know. I'm thinking that. Jay, you had your hand up. You have to unmute.
Hi, sorry about that. I think it makes a lot of sense what Marjorie's saying is let's, you know, just make sure about exactly what we're doing and that, you know, we're doing everything the right way. And if Kim can't do it, you know, maybe one of the other electricians on the island can do it, or, you know, in a better time frame. Or if we have to have somebody from outside, I guess that's possible too.
I guess my question is, how complicated is it to put in a new, you know, to upgrade an electrical system? Don't you just put a new panel in? I mean,
I don't know.
Okay. Anybody else? Mark, do you have anything to say?
No, I'm not an electrician, but I think Marjorie's going about it kind of the right way. I think, first of all, find out if those people are comfortable installing the new compactor with what we have up there, which I think they probably will be. So if they are, go ahead and schedule them to start installing the new compactor, and then talk to them about the electrical situations, obviously. And then, just like Jay and Bo have stated very clearly, I think if we decide that we do need a 400 amp upgrade up there, and I believe that we do after talking with Kim very quickly and Ken more extensively, that we just do that after the new compactor is installed, and just in the meantime, you know, just make sure that the company that installs it and the transfer station attendant, being Gail, is comfortable enough to not allow two compactors to be turned on at once for a while. I think it's that simple.
Okay. Is that enough direction, Marjorie?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to give you an update. And then I gave you a treasurer's report that includes...
Oh, before you get off, town administrator, is there any other question anybody would like to ask Marjorie having to do with general operations? I guess I had one question. Do we have a plan this fall to do some of the work on South Road so that we'd be ready next, the beginning of next season, if the Allstate or the paving people can come down and do the work that we were going to do this year?
I don't have anything in place right at the moment.
I'm just thinking outside the box. If we had the if they could replace those culverts or whatever needed to be done that held us up last year, it gives us more flexibility in when that job could get done. If it could be done in the fall and then let it sit over the winter, they would, I think, you know, whatever you call it, compress.
If I remember correctly, my last conversation with Public Works is that they weren't all that comfortable about completing it. And there was talk of having Shabik Sand and Gravel do it. But I would have to get an update.
Okay, I think this is just my own opinion, and anybody else can weigh in. But I think that should be, that we need to talk about it. And, you know, maybe some of the culverts are difficult for them to do, and that we could outsource that, and maybe some they could do. But I'm just thinking we need an overall plan to make sure it gets done before the beginning of November when the ground starts to freeze. I don't know. How does anybody else feel?
I don't really know what you want me to do in terms of implementation. I think that if the Board of Selectmen want to do that, then...
I guess that's what I'm asking the Board of Selectmen, if they think that's something we should be put on the fall workload. Mark?
That was our goal the last time we talked. Now, if that goal isn't reached this fall, then really what that does is probably takes that stretch of South Road from the bottom of Roy Hill Road to the Shebigan off any list of chip sealing, in this case double chip sealing, for next year. That's really the point. So if the work doesn't get done this fall, it's probably not the end of the world. But in my opinion, it does take that stretch of road off of the list for any chip sealing, if we look at chip sealing next year as part of a road plan. Now, there are other options to look at next year besides double chip sealing that section, which would be some more paving of Chandler's Cove Road and Casco Bay Landing Hill at the top of Chandler's Cove Wharf, Old Cart Road, top of Fenderson, top of Caps Road. So it's really how we're going to prioritize things with our capital improvement budget, paving a road work or not, and chip sealing or overlay tar like we did this year.
So were both of those projects approximately the same cost, Mark? If you did South Road versus those all those other roads, are they about, I mean, ballpark?
Yeah, approximately, Donna. It was very close. And, you know, I'm just saying, I think we need to sort of just keep things in perspective and make things reachable, both work-wise, budget-wise, and capital improvement goal-wise. Because dredging may have something to say about what gets done next year or not with capital improvements.
Right.
What do you want me to do?
So I guess the question, yeah, that's, I agree with Marjorie. Do we want them to start working on the culverts if, on the ones they can do themselves? Or do we need to get a quote from Shebig Sand and Gravel about what kind of help they need? Or, you know, I think that we need to either decide we're going to go forward with trying to fix the culverts, whether or not we pave next year or not, or we don't, or we're not going to worry about the culverts. So it's just one way or the other, Mark, and then Bo.
I would suggest that Bo, Marjorie, and the road crew have a conversation and report back.
Okay, Bo?
I think the sooner you get them done, the more time they get to pack.
You know, I guess that was my thought.
Yeah.
So I think Mark has come up with a good idea. Marjorie, does that work for you and Bo, to get together with the road crew?
Sure.
And talk about, identify what the issues are, and then either go forward with it, or if you need more more input, come back.
My recollection as we talk about it is that Public Works wasn't comfortable with any of it, but I'll talk to them again.
But if you have Bo there too, you could, you could maybe come up with some kind of a plan if they can't do it.
Mm-hmm. I'll get with Marjorie tomorrow and we'll come up with some date.
Okay, thank you, Bo.
Also, since we're on the town administrator part, I don't know if this is a good time to bring it up or other business, doesn't really matter. I had a couple people ask me about what we're doing for voting this year, the election.
What do you mean?
Just what the town is doing, if they're doing anything different. They just didn't really hear anything with this COVID going on. They wanted to know.
It'll be just like the primary. We'll be at the hall from 8 to 8.
And then social distance, masks, all the usual stuff.
Oh, yeah. The state, the Secretary of State's office sent us a lot of supplies, including plastic shields to put in front of people, sanitizers, masks. I mean, and we have all of that still left from the primary. So it'll be the same. We'll be at the polls. We have gotten a lot of applications for absentee ballots, and as soon as we get the ballots, we're going to mail those out to everybody that has applied, but we will be at the hall for in-person voting.
So without doing an enormous amount of work, is it possible to do some kind of memo and put it out where we usually put stuff around, like at the store, at the boatyard and wherever else?
Yeah, sure. I didn't realize people just didn't people understand know. That we are going to be there. I mean, we're not really doing anything different other than we'll have some things in place to protect people, you know, hand sanitizers, as I said, and distancing, not as many booths available, and we have to sanitize after each voter. But, you know, we will be there.
I think that's a great idea, Bo, if Marjorie could do a memo, put it on Bev's website, put it on the town website, put it on the posters, and encourage people, if they have an absentee ballot, if they want it, to get it early and to send it right back in so that it doesn't get caught up in, you know, in the mail. Because we do have people who are away. We do have people who are away who may be getting absentee ballots and, you know, want them to get back to Shebig, and that's really an important message, I think everybody's saying. David?
I think a major part of the message should be how to get an absentee ballot, whether to stop in at the town office or to go to the State of Maine online where you can request an absentee ballot. That is probably more confusion about how to get it than you know.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate. The people are receiving a lot of things through the mail and through email and even texts about absentee ballots. I did put something in the calendar, but I don't know how many people read that anymore. So that's coming out maybe next week. But we can put something. What's happening here in the office is that we're getting multiple applications from the same people because there are so many, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, all kinds of these outside agencies are sending information to people like, oh, you got to vote absentee. So we have gotten, for several people, we have gotten multiple applications. And all people really need to do is call us or stop by the office and fill out an application. You know, it's not really that complicated.
Yeah, okay. No, I appreciate it. If we just put something like that in writing and just,
yes,
we're doing the same thing as the primaries, and if you have questions about absentee, call the town office.
Yep.
There you go.
I'll just throw in something for information. Rachel called me yesterday from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and their school had a call from the American embassy there asking to remind people that they needed to get their absentee ballots. So, you know, it's pretty interesting when the embassy, and then the embassy is going to collect them and then make sure they get back to the places. Rachel's actually registered in Ohio because that was the last place she was registered before she started going abroad. But anyway, that's just kind of human interest. All right. Now Treasurer's report. Anybody else have anything on that before we go to the next, to the Treasurer's report? Anyone else have okay, seeing none, Marjorie, go for the money.
I did a report for July and August, and I believe that's in your packets. I didn't see any problems. We're in the process of collecting the first half of taxes right now. That first half is due September 30th, so we've gotten a significant amount in, but I didn't see any issues with the expenditure side. The bank statement is reconciled through August.
Okay, that's great. David?
Do you have any sense for how the payments are coming in this year compared to last September? September?
I don't know the percentages yet, but things seem to be, you know, just the feel of it seems pretty similar to previous years.
That's good.
Yeah, that is good. Okay, no more questions. Anyone else have a question about the treasures? Anyone in the audience? Oh, Mark.
Marjorie, this is probably a simple question for you, but in the first expense column on page 1 under, I think it's probably administration, is the 2030 technology line at 60.20% because we've bought a bunch of stuff early?
That we have to pay for our Trio software package, and that's almost $10,000. We have to pay for that in July.
So it's basically a software licensing payment.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Anyone else have a question before I go to the public? Anyone in the public have a question about the treasurer's report?
No hands.
Okay, no one. All right, thank you, Marjorie. And now we'll go on to regular business. And now I would like to have a motion, if someone would be willing to make it, to adopt and sign the general assistance appendices A through H.
So move.
All right, moved by David. Do we have a second? Seconded by Bo. Is there any discussion? Marjorie.
There is a form that you have to sign.
Do we come into the office to sign that?
Yes, please.
Yes. Okay. So
do we all sign that? Or?
Do we all sign it?
The general assistance?
Yeah.
Chris has got the form. I think you all have to sign it.
Okay.
I thought I saw it.
I don't have a copy.
It was in our packet, I think. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to say anything?
No hands.
Okay. So we have a motion. We have a second. I'm going to do a roll call. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon is yes. It's unanimous.
Christine's got a question.
Oh, Christine.
Just that I looked at it and you do have to all sign.
Okay. So if everyone could try to stop by at some point tomorrow so that they can move this forward, that would be great. The next 21-095 is to hear an update from the CART team. And I see Erica is on here ready to go. I believe that she has a report.
There she is.
Okay, Erica, the floor is yours.
Great, thank you.
Oh, the screen is yours.
Thank you so much. Oh, if
screen is yours.
Can I share my screen? Is that
sure? David, no, talk to David.
You have to do that from your end.
The middle, oh, I do.
Yeah, see the share screen, the green thing at the bottom?
Got it. Great. Be bringing up a presentation that is in your and it's over the top line report, the results, and then take any questions and just talk about the public process where this is transparent. So we were 5 months into the COVID pandemic and we thought it was a really good time to listen to the community. And so we issued a report. The purpose of it was to listen. We had been putting a lot of information out. We'd had two cases, both very public about getting it, May Hall and the 4th of July incident. And we had been putting out a lot of public information and had a lot of changes. So we wanted to assess, one, if the information, the really important information from the CDC was understood and being received, get a sense of the biggest concerns, and then make sure that there a community so that all the information going out, there was a channel to be listening to everyone and make it anonymous so people could feel safe and a trusting place to share their opinion. And then from that, we were hoping that the town, the community organizations, and especially the CART committee, which is volunteers from across the community, would be able to get ideas or reflect on whether what kind of job we were doing. Just how we did it. We put it out there were 10 questions. We posted on SurveyMonkey. It over to August 31st is when, but the bulk of the responses came in on August 10th. We had about 275 mailed targeted to residents who, based on our relationships, we knew either had bandwidth issues or were unlikely to go online. So we did a paper copy personally addressed to them with a returned envelope and got about 50% response of those. And know is that we knew that whatever it was just going to be a snapshot in time. The state of emergency declaration was March 15th, and the state of Maine was just shortly after in April. And the other part is that we had not experienced, which is defined as three cases linked together of COVID-19. And to the state, we still do not have that. The testing team actually just passed their 100 milestone, I think, for us. And we've been monitoring. The few cases when we took this were the process of recovery. So 99%, so the people, there were 10 questions. They felt that they felt very informed about the CDC safety measures and felt that they were very important. So that very, very high. And also that the number one source of information was the CDC, which was important for us to know where people were getting their information. Top five concerns of the respondents, it was question 9, what are they worrying about the most? And by far was an outbreak in their family. Number 2 was in the island. Number 3 was school and education. 4 was transportation. And 5th was the island economy, and 6 was the overall economy. 71% of respondents felt that the island's overall response was very effective or extremely effective, meaning that 30% said they were unsure or felt it was ineffective, but most of them were unsure that we were extremely. There are very few people that thought that we hadn't done well. 83% felt the communication about COVID-19 was very effective or extreme. 75% ranked very effective to extremely effective for information on how to quarantine and isolate. We had done special FAQs to the community about the difference between quarantining and isolating. Less we asked how people were to talk to someone if they saw that they were not following the safe measures, either not wearing a mask, not socially distancing, primarily those two. At the time, there were sort of some high profile skirmishes that people had heard about or seen on Facebook, and we didn't know how prevalent that was. Oh, it says my internet connection is unstable. Can you hear me?
Off and on.
Oh, we can. It goes in and out.
Oh, okay. I think I'm going to only say a few words then, because I'm hoping that you got this.
We're hearing 95% of it, Erica. I would keep going.
Okay, and it's on the screen. Okay, not really a surprise, but only 25% of the islanders said they would talk to someone directly. So 75% were unsure, unlikely, or very unlikely to be talk to a neighbor. And the vast majority of the comments said people are conflict averse and they did not want to be the COVID police. The majority of respondents were well informed. They read everything, the COVID updates we were sending and traditional news media. And relatively low, but not even that low, the strength COVID response effort, because the majority unsure whether we were sanitizing, which we weren't. I mean, the for the most part, the boat was doing sanitizing, but the town did not have really a big effort to sanitize. Biggest split question of the management of how we transition to summer. And this is where the majority felt they were unsure that we were ineffective or not effective at all in transitioning to the summer people coming in the end of May. And that's also where the most probably emotional responses were. That's really kind of where we saw in the comments, people were, they're hurting. They felt that there's a real rift between the year-round community and the summer community. But that was no significant difference in the responses, whether you were a year-round person or resident. So The rest are question by question. At the appendix of this are a sampling of the questions people, it was extraordinary. People shared 50 to 100 comments on some of the questions. Probably the biggest number of personal thoughts were on whether they would talk to a neighbor. People really wanted to comment that they were not going to talk to a neighbor, that they were conflict averse, and that's not their job. And so what you all have is a sampling of them. They are positive and negative. They are available to anyone who wants all of the comments. The only that were on here was some part of it was a matter of space, but the other was they were redundant. Some of them were just saying the same thing over and over again. And this will be going up on Bev's website. It's a full report goes into the town, and Marjorie has that. And CART will be meeting on Thursday to talk a little bit about what we can glean. To say personal underscored was that we were on the right path at the time. Not much has changed. We didn't need a course correction. And there was no really big aha with regard. And the majority felt that we were doing the best we could, that their neighbors were doing the best they could, and that we had to on and not a sprint to make through this together. So I'd love to take questions or comments.
Thank you, Erica. I know that was a lot of work. Anyone from the board? For some reason, all of a sudden I can't see the Erica's screen, and I can only see some of the people who are on here. I don't know what's happened to my internet, but so David can help me if someone raises a hand. Who on the board? Like, I can't see Mark. I can't see Marjorie. I don't know.
Well, Erica has to take her screen sharing down. There we go.
Oh, okay.
And I do have a question, Erica. What was the participation rate? By that, I mean response rate. You sent out something like 250, and how many did you get back?
Well, it was posted. It was posted on ShebWeb, Shebig.org, the town, and then a mailing. So it depends. I mean, probably the best source of how many people were here.
So it was open.
How much water.
Okay, so
it was
so
open to
everybody.
Everybody.
Here. I see.
Yeah. Okay. So you could, I would say there were a pool of 1,500 people.
Yeah, that's a good response.
Yeah, so that is a good response. And anyone on the board have any questions before I open it up to the attendees? All right, is there anyone in the audience who has a question? David's going to look and see if he can see anyone.
No, everybody's happy.
Okay. We just have to hope that, right, David?
That's right.
Okay, Erica, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we look forward to hearing, you know, from a survey after this is all over. I think it would be really good, you know, once we all open up again, to do this again, or maybe, you know, whatever happens. But I know it's too much. It's a lot of work for you. It's easy for me to say that, but I think it would be helpful when it's all over to have some kind of a reflection. Mark.
I just want to say thank you to Erica and all of the people participating in this CART team and trying to keep people healthy and safe in our community.
Thank you, Mark. David?
Now, on a related topic, by that I mean it's not CART, but it is our testing program. And Kip Webb I'm drawing a blank. Jim Cox Chapman have both left for the season, and I would like to move a sentiment of appreciation from the Board of Selectmen to the gentleman and to everybody who's worked on that on behalf of the town of Shebig Island. That's a motion.
Okay, is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
Okay, seconded by Bo. And Jenny Hackle now is the contact person. She's going to be living here year round. So she has a stable of volunteers who are taking samples over 3 times a week. They're still testing. People are still needing tests. Fortunately, as Erica said, we have not had an outbreak. And you know, God willing, if people continue to be careful and do the right thing, we'll be able to get through this. So the motion is there any comment from anybody on the board about the motion? To send a letter to Jim Cox Chapman and Kip Webb, thanking them? All right, anyone in any attendees have a comment that they'd like to make about the testing?
Lila has her hand up. And she can talk.
I would like to underline the comment that Donna made, that the testing team continues, even though Jim and Kip may not be on the island all the time as they have been before. There is a very vibrant testing team in place, and they are continuing to be in touch with Jim and Kip and will operate the whole year long. Their number is the same procedures are in place, so anyone who is concerned can call the phone-in number any day of the week and ask for testing and advice. Thank you.
And this is a free service too. I just want to remind people who might be in the audience that this is a free service sponsored by a grant from Recompense, which is administered by the Chibig Island United Methodist Church.
And if I may underline, Donna, too, it has a wonderful network of couriers who get the tests right over to the mainland and off to Augusta. A lot of unrecognized heroes and heroines of Chibig who keep that going all the time.
And the biggest challenge is finding the right door the first time you go.
Yeah, ask Pat Murray who went today. But he got it all figured out.
Okay, so the motion on the floor is that to authorize the town administrator to write that letter, David, or are you suggesting you would write that letter?
No, I'd like Marjorie to write it. She writes better than I do.
Okay. All right. So all in favor, I'll do a roll call. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon is yes. All right, moving right along. To authorize the town administrator to sign the Maine DOT Local Road Assistance Program certification in the amount of $14,022 for FY 2020-2021. Marjorie, could you just give us like the Reader's Digest version of what this is?
It's an annual appropriation that the state makes to each town. It's a little bit lower than last year. We usually get 15,000 and some change. This year it's 14,022. It's based on the mileage of road that we maintain. I don't know. It's an annual appropriation that we get from the state. It's called Local Road Assistance or Urban Rural Initiative Program, if you want
Thank
the
you.
Fancy.
Anyone have a question on the board? Bo?
Where's that go? What line item does that go in?
It goes into the, so we do what is called gross budgeting. We don't do net budgeting. So it doesn't go into any specific line item. It's part of the revenue side of our budget. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else on the board? Anyone in the, Mark?
I'd like to make a motion to authorize the town administrator to sign the Maine DOT Local Road Assistance Certification in the amount of $14,022.
I second.
All right, moved and seconded. Is there anyone in the audience who has a comment or question?
No comment.
Okay. Marjorie, do you have your hand up?
I guess one more comment about it. On that form, I do have to report any capital projects that we've completed on the roads. I do report every year about our paving projects and what we've completed and what and on what roads, which, you know, the 14 or 15,000 is usually a small portion of what we expend, but they do like to keep track of what we're doing.
Okay, thank you very much for that information. All right, so I'm going to do a roll call. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon is yes, unanimous. All right, moving right along, to appoint Victoria Wood as the municipal BMV agent and tax collector. Now, if you remember correctly, when we became a town, the town clerk was held both of these positions. One reason that the town clerk was the tax collector is because the town administrator was the treasurer, and our advice at the time was that you do not have the same person have the same, those two titles. There's no law against it, but it was just recommended by the auditors at the time. And so that was the case until the former town clerk left. And then Marjorie assumed that responsibility because we were just training someone. What Marjorie's doing is being proactive, because if you remember correctly, we had a period of time when we first became a town when people had to go to Cumberland. They were nice enough to do our registrations for us because we weren't certified. And then we had another period of time when one of our town clerks left and no one in the town was certified. And once again, Cumberland picked up, and I think North Yarmouth too, to help us out. So Marjorie's being proactive to make sure that we are covered, which I thank Marjorie for thinking of this. And that's the background I have. Anyone have a question on the board about this, Mark?
Could I ask what the B stands for in BMV?
Bureau of Motor Vehicle.
Thank you. Donna, I would like to make a motion to appoint Victoria Wood as the municipal BMV agent and tax collector for the town of Shebig.
Second that.
Is there a second? Thank you very much, Jay. So it's been moved and seconded. Anyone in the on the board have a question? Bo.
I mean, I know that Victoria wears a lot of shoes at the office and stuff, and I just don't want to overload Victoria with pretty much everything.
Vika is online if she'd like to respond.
Well, Marjorie wanted to say something first, and then we'll give her that opportunity.
She already does most of what the Bureau of Motor Vehicle agent is required to handle. So there won't be much of a difference with that. And the only the responsibility with the tax collector would be that she is going to have to pay a little bit more attention to when property taxes go to lien and process the liens. But even that it's not that big of a deal. I mean, she's already collecting taxes and she's already doing all the motor vehicle processes.
And we don't have that many liens. And so it's really just setting up a schedule and making sure you're following it.
I'm that designated person. That's who the selectmen have appointed. And I had to do paperwork with Bureau of Motor Vehicles when Michelle Jackson left so that I could become the agent with them. So, but Vika's already doing most of this work. So it's not really much of a change in that respect, except that she'll be responsible for that inventory. Right now I'm responsible for all the sticker and plate inventory that we have.
So essentially the overseer of the...
It's just that with the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, it's my name that is attached to the inventory of stickers and plates that we carry. And that only happened because when Michelle left, I was the only person available to take that appointment. And I just kept it because it was just easier than transferring the agent to somebody else.
Okay, thank you.
Vika, did you have something you'd like to say?
No, Marjorie covered it pretty well. I think it just comes down to, you know, the person who's accountable for that inventory. I already know how to count the inventory. I already know how to do everything in TRIO when it comes to Bureau of Motor Vehicles. And so it's just being proactive and making sure that we don't lose our ability to issue new registrations when she leaves.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. And thank you, Marjorie, too. All right, so if there's no other comments, we have a motion on the floor. I will do a roll call vote. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Ms. Damon, it's unanimous. Is there anyone who has any communications? Bo, you have one?
Mark, do you want to bring up the communication or do you want to do that under other business about this morning, Dave Stevens?
Either way is fine.
Okay, why don't you do it?
Do you want me to take over?
Okay, so what?
Would you like me to go ahead?
Well, he contacted sure. you, so.
Okay. Bo and I were contacted by David Stevens, who lives over on South Road next to Mark McGee's house, about some drainage concerns off of South Road. Bo and I met with him this morning, and basically, we are simply recommending that the Town of Shebig Road crew at some point cleans out the ditch from Bruce Riddle's road next to the Grange, the dirt road in front of the monument, and just cleans that ditch out over towards the new owners of Juanita Cleve's house and allows that water to flow better until it reaches the ditch that the new owners cleaned out so well for us. And we're also recommending that the road crew simply dig a little sort of a stone catch basin type of thing over right near where Dave Stevens has already dug one with his hand shovel to allow the water to flow into possibly a ditch that he will have dug later by a private contractor once it gets off the town right of way. Is that accurate, Bo?
Yes. So
hi guys, I have to step away for about 2 or 3 minutes and I'll be right back.
Okay. I guess my only comment about that would be that the road crew would be very careful that they don't upset that monument. There's been a lot of digging in there and I think that it needs to be done correctly. I think it certainly can be done correctly. But it can also, a slip of the shovel or whatever you call it, the thing that digs, I don't know what it is, but the digger could be a problem. So I just, just to be careful, that's been there for over 100 years. It's commemorating people who died in the last pandemic. Three of the people there died in 1918 in the last pandemic. And we would hate to see that tipped over or damaged. But I think that something does need to be done there. I'm not suggesting that we not. I wonder if some culverts need to go in underneath that road. Not that I'm trying to be a road commissioner. Okay.
No, adding culverts to that's not going to add anything.
Okay.
At this point, we need to divert the water off. We looked at the road. The road needs a little bit of work. Essentially, it's coming down that road, and the buildup of sand, instead of remaining on the side of the road, is going in the road and then across the road and into Mr. Stevens' property.
The basic problem is that it starts way up on that driveway, Bruce Riddle's driveway. So what you're suggesting isn't going to solve the problem, but I'll have Public Works do that. And I guess I need clarification on the specific trench or whatever that you want done in front of Dave Stevens.
I can get with you tomorrow. And we'll discuss that. We'll probably discuss about the culverts also at the same time to get a time to go review it. We did talk to Dave Stevens to possibly talk to Bruce Riddle about the road also, or his driveway, whatever you want to call it, and made some recommendations there. So I know that what we're recommending is just for the town purpose, not for going on private property at all.
And just to let you know that the town right-of-way actually goes behind the monument. That most people don't realize that's a 3-rod road. And if you go, I actually did research on that memorial. And the town meeting in 1922 or 23, when it was put in there, the town meeting allowed it to be put in the right-of-way of the road. And so the town, theoretically, has control way behind that monument. And the problem is because where they put the telephone poles, it's encroached on the other side of the road where you have houses that were there from the 1830s. But the road really goes the other side of that, parts of it go the other side of that memorial. I don't know if that helps or hinders.
So essentially what me and Mark are trying to do is just make you aware about this. And if we can have either, the board consensus about going to talk to Marjorie to tell the Public Works to go ahead.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to go down there with Marjorie and kind of explain to her what it is that, you guys have seen. And maybe Dave Stevens is part of the discussion, Bruce Riddle too.
I understand the problem. There's one piece of it that I don't understand. I understand cleaning out the ditch. Unless other things are done, I don't think it's, anyway, cleaning out the ditch is fine.
I'll explain tomorrow.
Okie doke. All right, Jay, just to fill you up to speed, Mark and Bo had a comment from Dave Stevens about one of the ditches, and Marjorie and Bo are going to meet tomorrow to talk with Public Works about that. So that's basically where we are. That's all you missed. Okay, so now moving on, any more communication? All right, moving on to the approval of the minutes. May I have a motion to approve the minutes from September 9th, 2020?
I move to approve.
Bo, is that your hand up?
I approve to move the minute. To approve the minutes of September 9th, 2020.
Second.
Is there a second? David Hill seconded. So moved by Bo, seconded by David Hill. Any comments on the motion on the minutes? Seeing none, we'll do a roll call vote. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Ms. Damon is yes, unanimous. Is there any other business that the board would like to bring up before we go into executive session? All right, seeing none. Just for information for the people who are on this call, we're going to be going into executive session in a few minutes to discuss the applications for the new town administrator. We're in the process of hiring a new town administrator, and we will probably have several executive sessions over the next 2 or 3 weeks before we get to that final decision. And that's about it, I think. Just to let you know, we're working very hard on this project, very seriously, and we hope to have good news in a few weeks. And we want to thank Marjorie for all of her help. That she answered about a million questions for me this week. So thank you, Marjorie.
Are you gonna? Are you gonna take notes about when you come out of executive session? And
yes, we've done that. I've got to get that stuff to Christine.
Okay.
And you're going to make a motion to go into executive session?
Yeah, in just a minute. I just want to say to people that they need to sign off.
Right.
The only people who will stay on, we have, just to let people know, we have two advisors who are working with us. One is Beth Wiles, who has experience in human resources, and the other is Greg Hanscom, who has experience in municipal government and human resources. And Greg has helped us before, and Beth has volunteered to be part of this process today. So good night, everyone else. And I'm glad you had the interest to come and join us. Mark. Christine's got her hand up first.
No, I think Mark is going to take care of it right now.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for that.
I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session pursuant to MRSA 405-6A to discuss applications for the town administrator of Chivig Island.
I second.
Okay, moved by Mark, seconded by Bo. Now I'll go back through and we'll have a roll call vote. Mr. O'Pray.
Yes.
Mr. Corson.
Yes.
Mr. Dyer.
Yes.
Mr. Hill.
Yes.
Ms. Damon. Yes. I was waiting for somebody to answer.